guests today are Friedrich Paul Berg, a revisionist, and Roberto Millenkamp, who embraces the traditional view of the Holocaust. Friedrich, you have 4 minutes to address the mass graves.
Mass graves. Well, why not dig them up? Why not send a few Polish workers with shovels and start removing that soil that's on top of the bodies and pull out some of the bodies? Why not do a serious forensic examination? To date, nothing of that sort has occurred. What you get are these bizarre stories about drill holes being put here and there that show this extent of the mass grave, but none of the bodies have been removed. That's where the metal comes to the pedal, so to speak, or metal to the pedal. And anyway, that's what matters. Simply saying this or that is a huge mass grave means nothing. Mass graves occur throughout human history. Anytime there's a terrible epidemic, you throw the bodies into a mass grave. That's been going on for centuries. Now, I have in front of me a very, very silly book. It's called The Holocaust by Bullets, and the author is Father Patrick Des Bois. It was given a National Jewish Book Award, and Mr. Millenkamp actually mentioned the author earlier, a Catholic priest, Father Patrick Des Bois. Supposedly, he located 800 mass graves in the Soviet Union, or the former Soviet Union. And in the middle of the book are, as I recall, 16 pages of color photographs. And you should buy the book just to look at those pictures. They're pictures of forest and an old man and an old woman and an old woman pointing. And they look very unhappy, and some of them are agitated. There is one page full of bullet cartridges, and supposedly they are German bullet cartridges. Maybe they are. But what is totally missing is even the smallest bone fragment to show that anybody was actually buried in any of these so-called mass graves. What is the matter with these people? Are they all afraid to get their hands dirty and dig up some dirt? How about you, Mr. Millenkamp? Why don't you go to Sobibor with a shovel and dig up some bodies and try to show the world, oh, yes, this man was definitely killed with something or other. Like poison gas, perhaps. If he's wearing a uniform, though, which might well be the case, then he probably was a soldier, maybe a Polish soldier, maybe a Russian soldier. Who knows? But you can't say anything really incriminating, honestly, without actually excavating some of the bones or the bodies. Shame on you for making these vicious, dirty accusations based just on the fragmentary evidence that you've presented. But that is rather typical of people like you, Mr. Millenkamp.
Can I answer now?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
People may have noticed that Mr. Berg is a bit hysterical in his
accusations and in his ad hominem attacks against me. He's not being exactly objective. I don't know if he wants to be seen as an emotional hack or if he wants to be seen as a scientist. Saying that archaeologists who discovered mass graves lied, which is what he's doing, doesn't cut it. Sorry. Archaeologists, they made drawings of the graves. They described the contents of the graves. Yes. And they made cross sections. They showed their core samples. So there is no reason to assume that they are lying, and why would they be lying?
Okay, we do have to cut to a break. I'm sorry to cut you off, Roberto, but we do have to go to a break. We will be back in 3 minutes.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze-Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in seven different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info. Or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Welcome back. Excuse me. Welcome back. Roberto, you have 4 minutes. Perhaps you could address the issue of these archaeological digs. First, yes. I want to ask a question. Are either of you Jewish? Mr.
No.
Mellencamp.
No, I'm not Jewish. I'm German.
Okay.
I have some gypsy blood, maybe, but not Jewish.
Okay, Friedrich?
I'm not Jewish at all.
Okay. Roberto, address the archaeology.
The archaeologists, issue. Okay. So, Mr. Berg has blatantly called archaeologists liars. There's no reason for that. He has no evidence for that. Yes. He has no means of showing that the archaeologists who investigated mass graves at Belzec, at Sobibor, and also Treblinka, where they are currently being investigated, are not doing a thorough professional job. Sorry, he has nothing. As to Father Desdebois, Mr. Berg is somewhat misinformed, because Father Desdebois, he did one excavation in the area of Busk. Yes, he found several thousand skeletons of people who wore no clothes, and next to them were lots of bullets, cartridges, yes, which were of German origin. Mr. Father Desdebois cross-checked this physical evidence with what else is known from other kinds of evidence about what happened at Busk, and he confirmed that really these people were Jews killed by the Germans. There have also been other investigations, for instance, at Cerniki and I think another Ukrainian village, which were done by Richard Wright, a forensic archaeologist, in the course of a criminal investigation. And this, he also discovered hundreds of bodies in mass graves of Jews who had been killed by the Nazis in the occupied Soviet territories. The question why Father does not do more excavations and why the bodies are not dug out is very simple to answer, and Mr. Berg knows that. It's a very simple question of decency, of respect for the dead, yeah, and of certain religious laws, Jewish religious laws, which do not allow disturbing the peace of the dead. Yeah? Archaeologists have to comply with these laws. It's annoying, but they have to comply with these laws. Father Desbois, he probably would like to excavate. He got permission for one excavation. Yes, he got permission for one excavation and was allowed only to uncover the upper layer of the corpses. He was allowed to dig no further. And the upper layer was already very impressive. You can see pictures of that upper layer on YouTube. If you digit Shoah per balle, the French name of the book, or Holocaust by bullets. Yes? Mm-hmm. Also, if you look at my website, at my blog, if you digit photographs, you will find lots of photographs of people murdered by the Nazis, which were unearthed by Soviet investigators. You'll also find photos of mass graves taken by the Germans themselves at Kamenets, Podolsk, and other places where people were killed by mass shooting. You can find lots of pictures, but be warned, these pictures are very graphic. You better not be too sensitive. Yeah? We know these pictures are authentic because the Soviets' reports can be cross-checked against other evidence on which the Soviets could have had no influence. For instance, eyewitness testimonies before West German courts, subject to cross-examination and everything. Yes? So the Soviets did not lie. They may have exaggerated the number of bodies. They may have miscounted, they may have overestimated something, but the photos are authentic and the bodies are of people murdered by the Nazis and in many cases of Jews. And I mean, the Nazis did not only murder Jews in the occupied Soviet territories, but most of the people they killed out of hand, as opposed to starving them to death, were Jews. Okay? So Mr. Beck is a little misinformed both about the extent to which physical investigation has been done and the reasons why archaeologists are not allowed to. I mean, if you ask why I don't go to Sobibor and dig, I say, I would love to. I would love to take a shovel and dig up bodies. Yes, but it's not allowed. Yes, I might as well try to go to Arlington National Cemetery and do some digging there. Guess what will happen if I do that? Yeah? And guess what will happen if I get caught digging at Sobibor?
Okay, Roberto, your time is up. Friedrich, yeah. you've got four minutes.
If you have any kind of a serious archaeological investigation, you do dig up the bodies. So what you're saying about the bodies not being dug up at Sobibor and various other locations really is kind of silly. These are not serious archaeological digs at all. They are superficial archaeological digs. When you merely determine or try to determine the area in which the mass grave was, that's very nice, but that doesn't take you very far. Until you dig up the bodies and do some investigating in what kind of clothing they're perhaps wearing or what kind of wounds they have, you're not really doing a serious archaeological dig. And this idea that just because some of them might have been Jewish, you should not or could not dig them up is also rubbish. If that kind of argument were applied elsewhere, we would never be able to dig up any suspicious grave sites anywhere in the world, because who knows? The dead body in the ground might be that of someone who was Jewish, and therefore we would be violating Jewish law and blah, blah, blah. So this kind of very cowardly argument really will not stand up very well. The fact that Desbois failed to show even one bone fragment in his book is, I think, an indication of just how weak his case is. That gravesite at Busk could have been, I think, very easily a typical Jewish cemetery from centuries ago, for all I know. No serious results of of autopsies or examinations are available as far as I know. Now, as far as autopsies of dead bodies, there are none that show that anyone was ever killed with poison gas. okay? Because of that total failure to come up with autopsies showing death from poison gas, the Dachau gas chamber stories were dropped completely by 1961. And Bergen-Belsen is no longer, and rather early, was dropped as a place where people might have been killed in gas chambers. There are lots of pictures of people who were very sick before they died. Okay, it's very sad, but that's very, very different from anyone dying from poison gas. As far as demographic data, the demographic data that we have available today, even from Israelis like Sergio Della Pergola from 2003, who claimed that there were 1,096,000 Jewish Holocaust survivors alive in the world in 2003, that's stunning. What that means is that there were several million Jewish Holocaust survivors alive at the end of the war, several million at the minimum. Jacob Ukeles, another Jewish researcher, a demographer, he claimed there were only 680,000 Jewish Holocaust survivors alive in 2003. But those numbers are enormous. And if one wants to see something about Jewish Holocaust survivors, one can look on YouTube. Just do a search for Holocaust survivors, and there one can get lots and lots of accounts, living accounts from Holocaust survivors who not only survived the war, but who were kept alive by the Germans. They spent months in places like Auschwitz, sometimes years in concentration camps. They were never killed by the Nazis. They were kept alive by the Nazis. They were fed and given clothing, clean clothing, and medical care, and shelter, and protection. The real killers of the Jews at the very end of the war were the Western Allies. On the trains of Jews and others leaving Auschwitz and elsewhere, the great danger was not from the Germans at all. It was from bombing and strafing by Allied fighter planes and fighter bombers of one sort or another. The real killers at the end of the war were the Western Allies, and they made things worse by bombing things like the electric power plant near to Bergen-Belsen, which made it impossible to bring clean water into the camp, which was needed to keep people clean, at least somewhat clean, and get rid of lice and infestation. So Mr. Muhlenkamp's case doesn't worry me at all. He has shown that he really has nothing. He has nothing to support the claims that even one person was ever killed in a gas chamber anywhere, except for these totally ridiculous eyewitness accounts, which contradict each other continually. And what Muhlenkamp and others do is they take a little bit of this guy's testimony, ignore much of the rest of his testimony, and then combine it with somebody else's testimony here and there. They cherry-pick the evidence, and then they claim they have some sort of a consistent story. Rubbish, Mr. Muhlenkamp. You have no consistent story. You can't even get very many historians to agree that the source of carbon monoxide was gasoline engines. Most of them, I'm sure, still believe that diesel exhaust was still used. You can't even make a consistent story about the source of the carbon monoxide. And in fact, when you look at the claims more thoroughly, as I hope you do someday, you haven't done it yet, you'll see that the Germans had plenty of carbon monoxide.
Time's up. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break. Archive membership is now $5.99, and that includes access to the archives as well as to the chatting and message board access. You will receive a free copper coin when you buy a membership. Okay, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Welcome back. I mentioned that anyone who calls in and buys a membership will receive a free copper coin. That is only for today, so you'll want to make those calls today. Okay, Roberto, you have 3 minutes. Can you point out a place in the Talmud or the Bible that says a Jewish body can't be dug up after burial?
No, I cannot point out a place in the Talmud, but I know that Father Desbois describes it in his book, and I know from an archaeologist friend of mine that he is not allowed for some reason to excavate mass graves at Sobibor. Okay? So we have to take this effect. I mean, there is a website I have seen where there are Jewish laws regarding burial. Yeah? Generally, bodies cannot be touched. There are exceptions. For instance, criminal investigation is an exception, which is Berg's argument is moot. Yeah? We are not talking about criminal investigation here. We're talking about archaeology here. Archaeology is not an exception whereby disturbing the dead is allowed. Halakha. Okay? So, you have to take that as a fact. Yeah? Part of this boy had to accept it. This archaeologist, my friend of mine, had to accept it. That excavation of bodies containing Jewish victims can only be done under very, very exceptional circumstances. The archaeologists, I don't know where Mr. Beck got the idea that a serious archaeologist's investigation requires digging. That's nonsense. Yeah? You can do a serious archaeological investigation by ground-penetrating radar. You can do it by core drilling. Ask any archaeologist, he will tell you these are standard methods.
By the way, when a revisionist, Richard Krege, is supposed to have done an archaeological investigation at Treblinka by only ground-penetrating radar. I mean, he messed up, but I bet Mr. Beck would consider that a serious archaeological investigation. The investigators at Belzec, at Sobibor, and Treblinka, they have not only established the area of mass graves, they have established the size and the contents of every single mass grave. And the mass graves are of such size that you would only make such mass graves if you had to bury lots of people. Yes? And how do you know they were Jewish? Because we have documentary evidence that Jews were taken to these places. And we have documented German evidence from the German from the German side. We have a radio report whereby radio report intercepted by the British Secret Service, whereby until 31 December 1942, 1,274,166 Jews were deported to these camps. Yes? Okay? And if Mr. Berg says, you have no evidence, you have no case, he has no case as long as he cannot account for these people and other people who were deported. Full stop. Okay?
All right, Roberto, your time is up. Okay, Friedrich, you have 3 minutes.
Well, as far as evidence of people going to these places and not having been killed, the evidence is very clear. It's right on my website. You can listen to Zelda Gordon, for example, who went to Treblinka, and at least 100 of her girlfriends all left Treblinka a day or two later. They were not killed. They went down further south to Majdanek and did some work there and survived the war. There are countless accounts from Holocaust survivors that one can listen to on YouTube, like Zelda Gordon and others who survived these places. So your idea that, you know, there is some overwhelming pile of evidence that showed all these people were killed is simply rubbish. Once again, you have made a gross mistake, Mr. Muhlenkamp. Do your homework. Read much more carefully. Now, when you do investigate a grave site, you don't necessarily have to dig up everything to draw some conclusions, but if you're really serious, you will get that shovel and do some digging. And if you had some reason to think there was something suspicious about some corpses in the Arlington National Cemetery in Washington, you go to a judge and you get a court order to allow you or someone else to exhume the bodies and see if such and such a veteran was killed with gas or a bullet wound or something like that. It's perfectly normal and reasonable to do that sort of thing. The reason I'm sure the Polish government doesn't want these graves exhumed is because they know they have so much to hide. It would put such a dent in their Holocaust mythology if they dug up these grave sites and found, wow, it's not really what we thought it was. Now, what exactly is there? I'm not going to guess, but I know there are no corpses of people killed in gas chambers there. None. None whatsoever. And until you dig them up and come up with some rational way of testing these bodies, you have nothing, Mr. Muhlenkamp. Once again, you are at zero.
Was that it?
All right. Respond. Okay, respond. You have a minute to or a little less than a minute to respond to that, Roberto.
Okay. Mr. Berg has 1.3 million deportees to Belzec, Sobibor, and Treblinka until 1942 alone to account for. And what does he offer? Zelda Gordon, who was probably never at Treblinka. Mr. Berg, get serious. You have nothing. Okay?
I have Zelda Gordon.
Mr. Berg repeats.
Okay. We do have to cut to a break. When we come back, we'll pick this up on the other side. Okay?
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Do you need that sustained boost of energy, but want a more natural way of attaining it without the jolt and crash or the jitters you get from coffee and energy drinks? Zoom Tea is the healthy, sugar-free pick-me-up for body, mind, and soul. Does your coffee help you with weight control, mental clarity, anti-cancer properties, or give you an immune system boost? How about helping to stabilize your blood pressure, reduce your cholesterol, and increase your regularity? Now you can have all these health benefits with Zoom Tea. Check out ZoomTea.com or call our friendly staff at 575-936-7000. That's 575-936-7000. A one-month supply of Zoom Tea is only $20, and you get free shipping. Add chai seed to your order for only $12.95 to increase your benefits. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com to learn more.
Hey, John.
What do you need, Steve?
Can you spare any diesel fuel?
Maybe. What do you have to offer?
How about this $5 gold piece?
What the heck am I supposed to do with that?
Come on, man. I'm your neighbor.
What else you got?
Well, I've got some heirloom squash seed.
Any zucchini? Dark green?
Yes, of course. I've got a Texas Ready Liberty seed bank.
How much diesel fuel did you say you need?
I could really use a gallon.
Yes, folks. It's not called seed money for nothing. At Texas Ready, we've thought of the big stuff and the little stuff, so you can think of the other stuff. We've got you covered from beans to barter. Order today at texasready.net or call 832-493-1357. That's 832-493-1357. texasready.net. Are you Texas Ready?
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Guests today are Friedrich Paul Berg and Roberto Muhlenkamp. And Roberto, you had a few seconds of Friedrich's time, but now you have 8 minutes, and then after you're done, Friedrich will have 8 minutes. Go. Mm-hmm.
Okay. As I said, we have at Belzec, Sobibor, and Treblinka, we have mass graves huge enough to accommodate hundreds of thousands of people. We have documentary evidence whereby roughly 1.3, 1.4 million people were transported to these camps. We know for sure that about 1.3 million, 1 million, 24,000 something, were transported until the end of 1942 alone. We have eyewitness descriptions which all point to mass killing. Yeah? We have no evidence whatsoever that these people were taken elsewhere. The only thing that Mr. Berg can offer is Zelda Gordon, who was probably never there. I have a challenge for Mr. Berg. It is on my website. It is called Challenge to Supporters of the Revisionist Transit Camp Theory. The challenge is to prove, I think it's four people, is to find the names of four people, who were taken to either of to the Action Reinhardt camps or to Chełmno, and who from there left the camp and were taken to the occupied territories of the Soviet Union, which is where, according to revisionists, they are supposed to have been taken, and which is where they are supposed to have been, removed by flying saucers or something like that, because there is no evidence that anybody was ever taken any further than these camps. Anybody who arrived at these camps was never taken to the
occupied Soviet territories. There was some transit in between these camps. There was some transit in between these camps and Majdanek. This is well documented, but there is no evidence that anybody was deported through these camps, that these were transit camps for the 1.4 million people who passed through them. There is no evidence whatsoever. You don't give me Zelda Gordon. Come on. This is beyond ridiculous. Okay? I would also like to go back to Father Desbois. Okay? He didn't dig at a Jewish cemetery. The Jewish cemetery, if you look at air photos of his diggings, is next to the mass graves he excavated at Busk, and it looks very small compared to these mass graves. And of course, in the Jewish cemetery, people are not buried the way they were buried in mass graves at Busk. They're not hodgepodge, all naked, yeah, and with bullet holes in their head. Yeah? That's not how you bury people in the Jewish cemetery. Okay? As to the permission to excavate, I mean, if there is a reason to suspect that the crime has been committed and a criminal investigation has to be carried out, I'm sure you can get a court order and so on. But we are not talking about criminal investigations here. We're talking about archaeology. In archaeology, other rules apply. There, certain religious taboos and so on have to be observed. No? Which in a criminal investigation meaning that there is a suspect, somebody who is accused of having participated in these killings, like there were at Zemniki and Stepaninka, or this other Ukrainian village. Why did they excavate there? Because somebody had been indicted of having participated in these killings. And then they said that's when they sent it in the forensic archaeologists, and they dug up hundreds of bodies at either place. Mm-hmm. People shot. And witnesses described how they had been killed, and the physical finds matched what the witnesses had said. Yeah? Next argument, let's see if I recall them all. There are no autopsies of gassing victims. I mean, first of all, Mr. Berg, tell me, where is it stated that in order to prove mass murder or murder, you need an autopsy? Show me rules, standards of evidence, U.S. Rules of evidence or rules of evidence of your state, where that is stated. Nothing. Yeah, you usually have an autopsy, but you also usually have the body. But there are no rules which say that you can prove mass murder only with an autopsy. And the reason why we have no autopsy, that is obvious. I mean, gassing victims, they were cremated. Nobody ever dug them up, with one exception, I think the Soviets, they autopsied some gassing victims at Kharkov, yeah, and they found traces of carbon monoxide poisoning therein. Yeah, nobody ever dug them up to establish what had killed them. Yeah, at Belzec, Sobibor, and Tremenga, this was simply not possible. So of course there are no autopsies. And so what? Yeah. Also, this thing about what was it else? The Allies having been the real killers. I challenge Mr. Berg to give me examples. Yeah. I mean, I think at Nordhausen was bombed, and there were some casualties among the inmates. But aside from that, yeah, I want Mr. Berg to show me how many of the several hundred thousand people who landed in German concentration camps in 1945 were killed by Allied bombing and strafing. Yeah. He'll come up with a few if he's lucky. Yeah. Auschwitz. I mean, Auschwitz, he doesn't know what he's talking about. The march from Auschwitz was not by train. The march from Auschwitz was on foot in winter. People froze to death and were shot by the roadside. Okay? So Mr. Berg has not done his homework in a great many, many respects. Mm-hmm. Okay? What other things? I don't recall the Cyclone B thing. Yeah? Cyclone B thing. Outgassing times. I mean, I've made calculations. Yeah, based on data about Cyclone B as it was used during in the 1940s, whereby several times the lethal concentration of Cyclone B would have been reached after some minutes in any gas chamber at Auschwitz. Yes? These are based on technical data about the use of Cyclone B from the time in which the gas chambers were in operation. So, Mr. Beck, again, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Mr. Beck is high on rhetoric, wonderful, he's a good speaker, yeah, but he's very low on facts, he's very low on evidence. Mm-hmm. Very low on very low on arguments. Yeah? I'd like to go back also to the issue of the Warsaw Ghetto, where he claims that you see pictures of people well fed in 1943. Well, of course there are people who were well fed in 1943. That's why they were not taken to Treblinka. That's why they were left in Warsaw to work for the German war effort. Those who were weak, and yeah, those who were starving, of course they could not work. They were shipped off to Treblinka. Yeah, what remained behind were the ones that were in a little bit better shape. Of course, you see people well nourished in pictures of the Warsaw Uprising. But look at the picture at the pictures of German photographer, a German soldier by the name of Heinrich Jürst, if I remember correctly. Look at the pictures he took. Yeah, and at the reality of the Warsaw Ghetto. Yeah? And look at the statistics. How many people died in the Warsaw Ghetto of starvation and disease? Tens of thousands. Yeah? And as to the state of health, as to the anemia, and as to the respiratory difficulties, look at the medical records kept by the doctors of the ghetto, yeah? Which were mentioned in our e-book, which Mr. Berg has so far failed to address. I mean, you cannot contest medical records, yeah? Which say that most of the population was having problems of anemia, hemodilution, or respiratory problems. Yeah?
Okay, Roberto, your time is up. Okay. Friedrich, you have 8 minutes.
Okay. We've made some progress as far as the revisionist message. The exterminationists have gradually abandoned the rather outrageous and silly claim that people were killed with diesel gas chambers. Even Mr. Muhlenkamp is running away from that story. And that is amazing, because the diesel gas chamber claim was very much a part of the Holocaust mythology until about 10 years ago. Even Martin Gilbert, this supposedly great British Jewish historian, used the story of Kurt Gerstein as a major piece of evidence in his book, The Holocaust, which was published in 1985. And he actually quotes from it at length. And diesel oil, supposedly, according to Gerstein, was even used to burn the bodies. Anyway, the story is silly for all kinds of reasons, but it took more than 50 years, let's see, 53, 54 years minimum before some of the Holocaust scholars admitted, finally, that the diesel gas chamber story really is not credible, and they've abandoned it. Now, it takes a long time to get things straightened out among these people who are so fanatical about the Holocaust hoax. As far as the courts in Poland, my goodness, do you think any German who would have dared to say, no, we did not do that. We did not gas people to death. You think any such person would have gotten a fair trial and would have been allowed to live? He wouldn't. The Polish courts were a disgrace, and the Soviet courts in Kharkov and elsewhere were a disgrace also. By the way, in those gas van trials, in Kharkov, it was claimed that it was diesel exhaust from the parked gas wagons that killed the victims inside. Those stories are rubbish. Now, one piece of information is very, very important, and here this comes to some extent from so-called witnesses. They did speak of gas wagons. Gaswagen is the German word. And that word is mistranslated again and again into English as gas van. Gas wagons were actually very common. As I said, there were about 500,000 gas wagon operating throughout German-occupied Europe. They were ubiquitous. They were all over the place because, contrary to what Mr. Muhlenkamp wants to believe, there really was a desperate shortage of fuel in German-occupied territory from the very beginning of the war. Get your facts straight, Mr. Muhlenkamp. You're living in a fantasy world if you think Germany had an abundance of fuel oil of any sort. They didn't. 85% of Germany's liquid fuels for motors, vehicles, was made synthetically from coal. That was an enormously difficult process, enormously expensive. Today, we're spending maybe $4 a gallon for diesel fuel here in the United States. In Europe, it's probably $6, $7. If you had to make it from coal, the price might be $60 a gallon, for all I know. I don't know, but it would have been enormous, and it was enormously difficult during World War II. So Mr. Muhlenkamp's insistence that these producer gas vehicles somehow were either superfluous or not really necessary is absolutely false. He is in deep denial once again, and the Holocaust scholars are all in deep denial because they don't even talk about this stuff. Achim Trunk wrote this very interesting essay in a new opus, New Studies Regarding National Socialist Mass Murders with Poison Gas. I only got the book about a week ago, and it's very, very interesting. He talks a lot about gasoline engines versus diesel engines as a source for carbon monoxide. But nowhere does he mention the fact that carbon monoxide was literally all over the place. You had to just drive one of your generator gas trucks to Sobibor or wherever, and you could have killed everybody real easy from a fuel that was essentially free, practically, because you made it from wood chips and twigs and branches and things like that. So anyway, as far as gas wagons are concerned, there were gas wagons, and I'm sure they were also at Kelmno, but they were a totally different kind of gas wagon from the gas van that was allegedly used to commit mass murder. You could have committed mass murder with the Holzgaswagen. You could have simply redirected the fuel, instead of going to the engine, you could have redirected it into the van of the truck or bus. But that's not what's alleged. That it seems to have never occurred to these fiendish Nazis that they had the most perfect, most inexpensive poison gas available to them right at the back of their truck or bus. But they never used it. They used instead the exhaust from a gasoline engine or a diesel engine. It is cuckoo. And all of you fellows, I'm sure you're very nice people on a personal level. I'm sure you're very kind to your mother and your family and all that. But you are a bunch of cuckoos as far as the Holocaust hoax is concerned. This stuff is enormously important because we're on the verge of World War III because of Holocaust lunacy. Hillary Clinton has said that we must not have another Holocaust. And that is driving American intervention into all kinds of places where it has no business. Now, will the world come to its senses about the Holocaust hoax? I know it will. Someday, someone will actually get a shovel and start digging up some bodies or something at Sobibor and find, lo and behold, it doesn't look like anybody was gassed here. These people have bullets in their body and so forth, in which case they weren't gassed, or the uniforms are something different from what we'd expect. Someday somebody's going to dig up those mass graves and find out what really was going on there. But until then, of course, you'll have people like Mr. Muhlenkamp giving all kinds of wild stories about what really is there, even though they've never looked at it, okay? The extent of a gravesite or cemetery doesn't tell you much of anything about what is really underground. Get your ass in the grass, so to speak. Get your shovel in the dirt and do some real digging, and then maybe you can have a case to talk about. Until then, you have rubbish. Certainly, lots and lots of people were shot in Russia, and lots of them were shot by the Soviet military as well. And if they used German bullets, you couldn't tell for sure that it was the Germans or the Russians who did the killing. The Russians used a lot of German ammunition when it was convenient, and vice versa. That's the way things go in wartime. There are always terrible, terrible shortages. So even if you found German bullets somewhere, that doesn't mean the Germans did the shooting. I know that's very hard for you to accept, Mr. Muhlenkamp, but that's the way things go. And if you ever do a serious investigation into these mass graves, that's what you'll have to do. And hopefully people like me can confront you freely on the ground in Poland and in Germany to show just how silly your arguments really are. At the present time, I cannot even go to Germany without facing 5 years imprisonment, okay? So if you want to speculate about reasons why this or that kind of testimony appears and no counter-testimony appears, it's because of the terror that was exerted by the Polish government and by the Soviet Union and by the various allied...
All righty. We do have to take a three-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
My guests today have been Friedrich Paul Berg, a revisionist, and Roberto Muhlenkamp, who embraces the traditional Orthodox view of the Holocaust. Friedrich's, their websites are listed on today's date on my radio schedule page. There's a lot of interesting information on their websites, and be sure and look those up. All right, Roberto and Friedrich, you have about 1 minute to make some closing remarks. Let's see, who wants to go first? Let's, Roberto, make some closing remarks. Yeah, you have about 1 minute.
Okay. Mr. Berg essentially made a fly into an elephant with this diesel thing. Yeah, diesel was casually mentioned because some witnesses spoke of diesel, but the witnesses who knew, because they operated the engines, yeah, or because they serviced the engines, they spoke of gasoline. Mr. Berg has abandoned his claims regarding the color of the victims, or he hasn't pursued them, and said we get his, what is it, the producer gas thing. But he killed his own argument. He said, all civilian vehicles were converted to producer gas, so the military could use gasoline. Okay, the Holocaust, the killing of the Jews, was a military operation. It was part of the war effort. Yes, and I'd like to see his evidence whereby 85% of gasoline in Germany was produced from coal. Yeah, with the Romanian oil fields, I don't quite believe that. Okay, the only progress Mr. Berg has actually made a fly into an elephant with his diesel thing, yeah, okay, which has turned out to be irrelevant because the key witnesses, the insider witnesses, spoke of gasoline, period. Mr. Berg is now reduced to saying, oh, the Nazis, they could have used this, they could have used that. So what? Yeah, the best thing he can help to demonstrate, yeah, when there's evidence of to what the Nazis used, is that the Nazis were not so bright, not so practical when it came to killing methods. That's relevant when there's evidence. People
all right, Roberto, your time is up. Friedrich?
The source for the fact that 85% of German liquid fuels was made from coal is the United States Strategic Bombing Survey. I can't find the actual reference on my website at the moment because my computer screen is locked up for some reason, but it is there. It's a fact of life. Get used to it. The evidence is overwhelming and is provided by the United States itself. So that is a fact. Now, how many other things? That I've somehow abandoned the color argument? I don't know that I've ever done that. It's a very valid argument, and it shows that these so-called eyewitnesses have some real problems with their story. All of them. All of them, in fact. Oddly enough, in the Kharkov and Krasnodar trials, it was claimed that the victims of gassings were red, and they did show that cherry red coloring. And it's a little surprising, but I suspect it is due to the fact that the Soviet Union actually used homicidal gas vans to kill prisoners. There was a inventor who, oddly enough, has the same last name as I do, named Berg, who developed this technology in the Soviet Union. So they, no doubt, had some experience and knew what to expect. But
Okay. Sorry, we are out of time, gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure. Talk to you later. And goodbye, listeners. Have a wonderful weekend. Talk to you on Monday.
The next